Jesus didn't surround himself with clerics. He surrounded himself with business owners, with entrepreneurs, with business professionals, right? Doctors, fishing industry. I mean, really, his first friends that we know of were boat owners, right? They didn't just own one, they had a small fleet. Wow. They were fishermen. That was really a trade, that was a business. And those are the people he called first.
Welcome to the Best View in Town podcast with Nathan Wesley Smith and friends, where we help you gain a more hope-filled perspective, tap into your purpose, and find encouragement in whatever you're walking through. I'm Justin Porter, and I'm sitting with my friend Nathan today. Nathan, how are you?
Justin, it's a great day. And man, I was just thinking about this. You know, we're in the season two now, and I think I'm doing this last year, doing it this year. There's so many things God's done in our lives, just me and you sitting here. But I think about the friendships and the relationships that have been built and just the people that are listening. I'm kind of blown away by it. So I just want to start with a big burst of gratitude for everybody that cares about any of this stuff and listens to these episodes. I feel super grateful today.
Nathan, I remember riding home from the Charlotte Douglas Airport, and you said, bro, I've got a dream that God's really been dealing with me, even on the flight home. It's the Best View in Town podcast. I would love for you to be a part of it with me. Let's get this thing started. And then a couple weeks later, there we were.
We're doing it.
Season
yeah.
one. You're interviewing. We're talking with people from all over the world.
Yeah.
And thousands of downloads and listeners all over. And look what God's done in a year.
And speaking of all over the world, this week I got a chance to sit down with a dear friend of mine from the great nation of Austria. And his name is Andreas Kisslinger. And Justin, I don't know how I get to meet these people, right? This
yeah.
is what, when I'm doing this show, it's fun for me, but
yeah.
these people are, they blow me away. I can't believe that I know them. I've gotten to meet them. And I really am a fan. And Andreas is, man, he's just such a good dude and is got a brilliant mind for business and technology, mm-hmm. but he's a kingdom guy and he's constantly trying to think of ways to advance the kingdom through the skill sets that he has. But anyway, I think people are going to be really impacted, not only by our story, how we connected, but what he does and how he does it. So this is going to be a lot of fun today.
It's going to be so good. Today, we're going to listen to a conversation with Nathan and founder and CEO of Lightcast, Andreas Kisslinger. Let's take a listen.
Well, today I am in Charlotte, North Carolina with one of my great friends, Andreas Kisslinger. Not only do you have the cool name, everything about you is cool, Andreas. I don't know how you pull this off, man, but Andreas, you're the CEO of Lightcast, and we're at the Lightcast offices in Charlotte. Dude, thanks for jumping on the podcast with me. This is so awesome.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, man, I'm so pumped. So for people who don't know what Lightcast is, that might be kind of fun to hear, because what you do blows my mind. I don't know how you do all this stuff, but tell people who are listening, what in the world is Lightcast?
Lightcast is an end-to-end OTT provider. It sounds complicated, but really what it is, it allows media producers, content creators, and media publishers to upload and distribute all their content, their live streams, linear streams, on-demand video and audio archives to all devices.
Amazing.
To TVs, smart TVs, set-top boxes, to mobile devices, web, social. So with one click and a single workflow, all your media goes everywhere to every screen. That's it, basically.
It's basically, yes. It's unbelievable. It blows my mind that you know how to do all this stuff. But Andreas, when I first met you, you were not doing this. We met in the most amazing way. And for those who haven't picked up yet, you have a bit of an accent. Where are you from?
Austria.
Austria. Now, for those who are listening, now, is that the place with the kangaroos or not? Because that's important detail.
No kangaroos only. only Lederhosen and yodeling and Sound of Music and rolling hills and Alps and skiing.
That's so
and all
true.
That stuff.
Too many people get it confused with Australia, although it's nothing like Australia.
So true.
So we meet, this is some years ago, and I don't know how much you remember this. It was a Sunday night service at our church, and a guy that operates in the prophetic, his name is Sean Smith, in the middle of his message, he stops. And this would have been probably 2006, I think,
mm-hmm.
something like this.
Yeah.
And he stops in the middle of his message, and he says, Nathan, why don't you stand up? He's in the middle of his message, he stops. He says, I have this vision of you, and I see you leading worship on city streets, and I see atheists and agnostics coming and they're touched by the power of God.
Yeah.
And so I'm just, you know, which I'm a crier, so I just start crying. I don't know what to do. I'm like, this is incredible. I don't know how any of that's going to happen or if it's ever going to happen. But that's the word he gives me. That's a Sunday night. Yeah. The next day, I get an email from a man I've never met before in Bosnia. And he's like, hey, we have a mutual friend, yada, yada. You don't know me, but I've had this vision to do some open air concerts in our city. And I'm like, yeah. Oh my gosh. And he says this, he says, our mutual friend said that if I asked you to come, you would come and help us. Which awesome. I appreciated my friend doing that for me. And so I get on a Skype call with him and this is starting to happen. And he says, well, I have this vision. I don't really know how to do it, but I know a guy in Austria. He's like, would you mind talking to him? So now I'm talking to a guy I don't know in Bosnia who hooks me up with a guy I definitely don't know in Austria. You are that guy.
Yeah.
Right? Do you remember this?
Of course I do. I remember the Skype call. We were all together on it. Dario from Zenica, yeah. Bosnia, was yeah. on the call. We got introduced just shortly after. You jumped on the plane together with, I think, two people from your church,
yes.
a bass player.
Yep. Craig and Mike,
assistant, and there we were all together. And he didn't come with a whole band, but we had another band there in Austria that we wanted to bring to Bosnia to play at these open air concerts, anyways.
Yeah.
And then they rehearsed with you,
man.
And became your backup band a little bit, right? It was, and then we did this over again. I think at least one or two more times, right?
Yeah, so, I think total of three tours.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was amazing, and it was the prophecy fulfilled. Before our very eyes, on the stage, in the streets, in the squares, in Zenica, and people were coming from all over the place and being touched by the power of God, by His presence. We prayed for them. Many gave their lives to Jesus.
Yes.
It was incredible.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
And Andreas is not saying this part, but he is a fantastic keyboard player. I have to put this in here. Fantastic. And so not only did you play keys, but you organized the stage, the lights, the tour through Eastern Europe. And I mean, it was unbelievable, man. So we did that and you called it the Hope Tour.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so Andreas, at that time, and this is all before Lightcast, and so we're going to get to that in a second because this doesn't sound like we're talking business yet, but it, you know, really all good business all flows out of relationship in the same way, man. You know, the gospel, the kingdom is a relational kingdom. It's all about relationships. And so we start doing these tours. And Andreas, people are coming from all over the place, and you had kind of a media ministry operating out of Vienna. Talk about that for just a second, because you were filming some of this.
Yeah, that's true. At that time, I was totally in the nonprofit sector, so I was on board of several nonprofits, mm-hmm. Christian Media Production out of Vienna, Austria. We had a small studio there. We produced for German television, Austrian, Swiss, and Italian television in German language. We had cooperation with CBN, Virginia Beach. We produced a music show together with CBN that was on air in Central Europe and a few other magazine shows. And so that was really media missions and media ministry was what I was most passionate about and still am today.
Yeah.
Just in a different way today than I was back then. But back then, I felt called to be, you know, in front of a camera to some degree, and also behind the desk managing it.
Mm-hmm.
But now, yeah, I'm in technology, trying to enable people who do that, right?
Incredible.
And empower them and give them the tools and technology to do that and to reach more people. That's really.
And I think that's an important part of your story from my perspective, because you're essentially doing the same thing. You're doing it in a different way and in a larger scale from my perspective. I think that's accurate. You're getting videos done. And so you were a VJ. Can I just tell the truth here? You were a VJ. You were a video jockey, all right?
Yeah.
So people remember MTV VJs,
yeah, exactly.
All right? But you did it for a really Christian music video. It was called One Cube,
yeah, that
right?
was one of our shows.
I remember that.
With CBN and... Mm-hmm. And we produced in Virginia Beach and in Nashville at North Star Studios.
Yep.
And we had all the big name musicians and artists on set, playing unplugged on set. We had them on the couch, you know, interviewing them, all the big names. I did that for 10 years. It was a huge pleasure. But I grew older, so I eventually outgrew my viewership. Well, the viewership grew older too.
That's
they
right.
Grew with me, but my first two, three white hairs.
they had to start actually, figuring out what to do with you.
Killed my career as a VJ for the 16-year-old viewership. it was fun. But we really clearly spoke about Jesus and the gospel and presented it in a different way. Just packaged very modern and with cool music. And it was incredible to see that it was recognized in Europe. So many places I went to, people would recognize it because they would have seen it on TV.
Wow.
Like even in Croatia and Bosnia, it was on television.
Yes.
So it was really fascinating to see which impact mass media has if we do it right. But and that actually led me to the next ventures, because understanding the impact that media has and the use of media is how it shapes our thinking, our mindsets, and worldviews, and also our openness towards God or the opposite, right?
Exactly.
Media will influence us in a powerful way, and we need more people to become influencers for the right cause, and in the right direction. So that's what inspired the next ventures.
It's incredible. And as we get to that part of the story, we're sitting here in Charlotte, North Carolina, at your U.S. office. We're just miles down the street from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Billy Graham being one of those early adopters of media ministry, right?
Correct.
So to think about just down the street what has started and was operating, and now here we are. Andreas, first of all, not only have you had such an incredible mind for realizing the reach of media and how to use it in the business world, but also for the kingdom, and that blend of those things as well, but the fact that you come from Europe, many people listening to this may not recognize the difference in the climate, not just, you know, weather, but spiritually in Europe. Maybe talk about that for a second, because of how powerful this media tool is. It has been, especially in Europe, and of course here as well.
Yeah, it's true. Well, Christian media and Christian television may even not be always positively recognized in the U.S. because it's not always viewed as a positive thing. But in Europe, it certainly is, because there hardly is any presence of Christian media on television. There are no Christian televangelists like they exist in the U.S. Mm-hmm. The most Europeans, but that's also that goes for the rest of the world. The same in Asia, Central South America. Most people on the planet aren't surrounded by Christian media, Christian books, literature, Christian radio, Christian music, and worship music, and in the same way as Americans are. Like here in the U.S., we are surrounded, and we have this access and availability to all these resources 24/7. The internet is full of it. Our bookstores are full of it. We have Christian bookstores here. That doesn't exist in the rest of the world. You won't find them like that. Christian radio, you turn on your radio in the car, you'll have a Christian station. That doesn't exist in the rest of the world. You flip through the TV channels and you bump into a Christian channel. That does not exist in the rest of the world. So it certainly doesn't in Europe. And when you see a Christian TV program, it will be on a secular station. Yeah, so in order to get on TV, we would have to buy super expensive airtime on the ABCs and NBCs of Europe.
The primary networks, right?
The primary national secular networks, and buy their, the 28-minute slot to get the message out.
Which is not cheap.
And exactly. And very often, they wouldn't even accept it, no matter for
even
anybody.
If you could afford
exactly.
it, yeah.
And so you have to be creative and come up with ideas to somehow, and then by faith, pray it through and get it through and get it on air. And so that's it's quite different.
And I think that's so important because, again, for those of us growing up in America or in the West, we may not have a grid for that. This is why, one, what you're saying is so important, but two, it blesses me so much as a European that you saw the opportunity and said, we have to do something about this and we have to get engaged in this, not back off from it, but press into it. And so, you know, we did the Hope Tours and we're leading worship and doing music and you're videoing it and you did a television show based on that. We did interviews. It was so incredible for me, man. I just watched you do all this stuff and you blow my mind on how you do all the stuff you do. But then let's kind of fast forward that a little bit. You recognize what's happening in the social media space and you say, how come there can't be something for Christians, especially with everything you just shared about the climate in Europe and Asia and other places. So talk about what you did there.
It was fascinating. I had this idea for several years. It started around 2001 to build a social networking site, a website where Christians can register, have an account, find each other, connect, share, securely share media, photos, videos, and also churches, organizations, Christian artists can share their media content. It was almost like taking the idea of MySpace to the next level at that time.
Yeah.
Facebook hadn't launched yet at that time. It was about to. And,
did you have a MySpace page? Tell the truth.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to not tell you the URL. No, I didn't, actually. In fact, I didn't.
No. Oh, I did. I totally did. Yes, MySpace, for sure. Yeah.
I was way too occupied with trying to copy how the video player could get onto a website.
This is the difference between you and me. I'm consuming it. You're creating it. So that's why I get fascinated with you.
At that time, we were trying to make the real player, right, and Windows Media Player somehow work to be on a website. To embed it on websites. It was the early days of video anything on the internet. Yep. And so in growing this idea and playing around with it, built a Christian website called CrossNet, which was back then a news portal, Christian news portal, and we incorporated video increasingly. And so that was kind of my testing and playgrounds. And then out of that, I started building this social network called Cross.tv. Mm-hmm. And that was around the time, actually, you came in 2006.
Yes, that's right.
And so started building that and then launched it in 2007.
Yep.
And Facebook had just launched around that time, but it wasn't very well known or adopted among faith-based circles or churches yet. So CrossTV grew really quickly and had massive growth until 2010 or so.
Okay.
That's when it peaked at that time.
And so, again, for people, guys, you're listening to this, I want you to understand this. So Andreas is having these ideas, and a lot of us have ideas, Andreas. A lot of us have. I've got ideas all the time. But then there's those people that do the idea, right? That's a big difference. And, I mean, it was no small feat to learn how to embed video on the internet early on. It was no small feat to develop your own social media network and build it out. That's not cheap. That's not easy.
Yeah.
Why spend so much energy and effort doing that?
Simply the passion and, I guess, calling. And I can't really explain it why, but it comes from the deep within. And once I feel that the time is right for an idea. And sometimes you have to wait for it because
sure.
the timing is, we may have ideas far before the time is right.
Right.
But, you know, when you feel the time is right, you really start just throwing yourself into trying to make it happen. And you have to learn.
Right.
You have to absorb information and educate yourself and learn everything because none of us knows everything.
Right.
Often when we start out, we know nothing about what we are trying to do. So we just learn as we go. And so that's, I guess, I just always learned how to learn. And so I didn't know how to build these things, but I just had to learn how to. And I had to trust others that knew more than I did. And then just, you know, cast the vision and have them grab it and come alongside and help me with it. So that's it's about, of course, as we always say, surround yourself with the right people. That's easier said than done.
Yes.
Because you have to first find them. and that really can often just require a miracle. And God can make that happen.
Yeah.
He can make our paths cross with the right people.
It's so true.
If we trust Him. So, and that is often when you know, okay, now the time is right. Because that's a confirmation. It's God will place the right people in your life
yeah.
that will help you take the next steps towards that goal. And then you know it's confirmed, right?
It's
a heavenly idea. And so that's what we did with Cross TV. As you said, yeah, it's definitely not easy. It was very challenging.
Oh, my goodness.
And also a huge financial risk.
Yes.
So my head was in the sling every night. I was like, man, this... And there I had many sleepless nights and many tears shed over this. I think you remember even there were moments when we knew our company wouldn't survive this anymore because of the server costs.
Yes.
The exorbitant server costs because of the growth. So, I mean...
It was a good problem.
Yeah, we had all these hundreds of thousands of people signing up and uploading and sharing, and we needed to increase server storage almost on a monthly basis and increase CDN commitments and hire additional staff. And I had no idea how I would be able to fund that. And it was completely self-funded and bootstrapped. So we didn't have outside investors.
Right.
And we had moments when we were thinking about it, but mm-hmm. it just was never the right fit. And I had to actually pass on several opportunities in that regard because it just would be unequally yoked. It was we would have not pulled in the same direction. And I just wanted to protect that, what I felt that God had given me to steward, right?
Yeah.
And be wise with it. And that, of course, caused even more pressure sometimes. And I think one day I was probably calling you crying that it's all over. This is it. We're done. We're not going to make it. We're not going to see tomorrow with this business and venture. And I think you also encouraged me. I remember that you said, well, Andreas, maybe it already... fulfilled everything it was supposed to do. Maybe it completed its task, right? Maybe it already did everything. I mean, think about all the millions of people and lives it touched. Maybe that's
and it
what
has
it was
touched
for.
Millions yes. of people, not thousands, millions. I've looked at the viewership. I've looked at reach that it's had. It's reached millions of people.
Yeah, I mean, we had fascinating projects with the social network. We had we had profiles that looked like a profile of a person with beautiful photos, to which we directed traffic from adult sites.
Wow!
And we ran ads there, and then captured that traffic and directed it to websites where they could read more about. How to make love last and how to actually find the source of love and never run out of it and how to fill that void and who that is, right? And then introduce them to Jesus and have a sinner's prayer and all that. And we tracked how many people actually walked through the process all the way to the prayer and then said, yes, I did pray it.
Send
me more info. And it was millions, right? It was crazy. And So it's really powerful what we can do with these technologies. So
I'm going to jump in right here because I think you said a couple things that I think are super important for people listening. You had an idea, you pursued it, you learned how to learn. I thought that was a very key point there. But then you stayed true to what you felt called to in it. You said there were opportunities you turned down. There were people that maybe wanted to invest that you didn't go with. Mm. You're not voting like they're good people or not. The issue was, would it be a mission drift?
Yeah.
Would it be, is this what you're called to do? And I think there's probably someone listening even right now that they've got an idea. They've been working on it. It's in business. Maybe it's even a ministry idea. And they just need help. They feel swamped.
Mm.
But they're trying to make that decision of grasping at straws, who can help me?
Yeah.
And they might need to be reminded, be careful, right?
Yeah.
Don't just take the first hand that reaches out. Really ask the Lord so that you stay on mission. And you did that. And without getting to the weeds of it, Andreas, was Cross TV a very profitable thing as a business?
Not at all. It was a huge loss. Actually,
this part of the story is important, I think. Yeah.
I mean, if you look at it from a business standpoint, you could say I lost millions on it. Yeah. But it wasn't a business. It was really a mission.
Come on.
And it was a missions project for us. And the moment I accepted that is when I got the best view in town on it.
Come on, man.
Because the entire time, when this painful struggle with keeping it afloat,
yes,
making it survive, not letting it, you know, go bankrupt, and keep funding it out of my pocket, and this really this painful investment, it kept me in the state of fear and panic sometimes, because I thought I would have to turn it into a profitable business.
Okay.
And at the there was this moment when I really felt God, you know, stopping me in this, explaining that this wasn't supposed to be a business. It never was. It was purely a missions project, and I accepted that. And now looking at it from this viewpoint, it makes me very happy, very satisfied, very content that, and also, you know, very humbled that I was able to be a part of this.
And that the reach and the impact, and the reason that part of the story is important for me from where I sit, and I don't understand all the techno wizardry, that's where you come in, but if I understand correct, it was through the construction of Cross TV that the ideas and the really the engine behind what Lightcast has become was in there. Is that, yes. Am I close on that?
Absolutely. While we actually created Lightcast in order to, as a last resort and last effort to survive Cross TV, mm-hmm. to fund Cross TV. So we broke out a part of the technology and for a business that served corporate video mm-hmm. needs and business video needs and really had the ability to charge for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I had this idea, I thought, well, I'll just break out a new company, a business that that can sell streaming services,
mm-hmm. Utilizing some of the ideas from Cross TV.
Correct, mm-hmm. and then use the proceeds to help fund Cross TV and keep the service running, and, mm-hmm. And keep, you know, being still able to give it away to the users, to the churches, to everyone using it without having to charge them. And it grew ever since. And now we are really serving a variety of different industries and verticals, schools, universities, sports, news, broadcast, independent content creators, YouTubers, influencers, but also churches and ministries. And many of the big household names, the largest mm-hmm. ministries, largest churches are using our services to distribute their content, and it's really rewarding to see that.
It's so incredible, Andreas, and I love that we're able to capture, obviously, a very abbreviated version of the story, but for people that are listening, and because see, they're in different phases of your story, and let me just say this quickly, the reach of Lightcast is global, and you have offices where?
In Vienna, Austria, Bratislava, Slovakia, and Charlotte, North Carolina. But we do have developers also in Romania and sysadmins and engineers in Bulgaria and in the Caribbean now, also increasingly in the Dominican Republic and Barbados.
It's just incredible. And the reason I highlight that, one, is it's amazing. And to think what started as a burden for engaging the media sphere where people, especially in Europe where you're from, realizing there's not much reach for the gospel, what can we do? And then you in getting in the game. And that has ministered to a lot of people. It's created these different engines and ultimately created a business that's very successful, that's been recognized. You've been in magazines, you've won awards, you've won all these things. And I want to tout all of that because I'm so proud of you. But it's important that people hear the story because, Andreas, sometimes all somebody would see is the Lightcast website and they would see this is an incredible service for a business and we need that and great. But they don't know the story. They don't know the blood, sweat, and tears. They don't know the mission. They don't know the dreams. They don't know the heartbreak that brought to this place, mm-hmm. not only professionally, but even in your heart for the kingdom's sake. So what would you say, Andreas, because there's people in different phases of that story, their own version, right now. And maybe they're in the beginning, or maybe they're in that middle, and they're losing the money, or the idea, they're like, God gave me this idea, but it's not going well, or it's not. What would you say to those people today?
Well, I mean, keep going, and just always remember, Jesus didn't surround himself with clerics. He surrounded himself with business owners, with entrepreneurs, with business professionals, right? Doctors, fishing industry. I mean, really, his first friends that we know of were boat owners, right? They didn't just own one. They had a small fleet.
Wow.
They were fishermen. That was really a trade. That was a business. And those are the people he called first. It would be ridiculous to think that we all have to give up our callings for business or careers and professional careers in favor of going into the mission field. Who would fund the ministries and missionaries and churches if there aren't entrepreneurs and business owners and professionals and people just going after a career and being faithful in the place God placed them? And I think God can use us in absolutely every place. Actually, he needs us in every place.
In every place.
And every corner. And he needs us visible and influential. And we should be willing to become that.
I think this may be fun to just kind of tag onto that idea, because you grew up in the church. Your dad's a pastor. Your parents are the most amazing. I had the most fun last week spending some time with them. They were here in Charlotte, taking some time away, and just incredible, incredible people. I could talk about them for a long time. But you grew up in the church. You grew up serving in the church. Very talented musically, worship, all these things. At some point, I'm sure there was a crossroads for you of like, well, I mean, I've got these ideas, but I'm serving in the church. Did you ever have that? Maybe you didn't, but did you ever wrestle with that? Can you do both? Am I supposed to? Is it more spiritual to work in the church, or is it less spiritual? What was that process like for you? Or what would you speak to people that are thinking about that?
Absolutely. Yeah, as a teenager, all I wanted to do was become a influential pop star. To be able to...
Which you do look like one. I just got to... You're Euro cool. Oh, you're so amazing.
I don't look like one, and I don't have the talent, actually. But back then, as a teenager, I thought I might have it. And so, well, for Austrian standards, I could have maybe sold 100 albums, but that was as far as I could probably take it. That vision was simply because I knew that that would give me a platform to share about God and to be a light in the darkness, and at the same time to pull in funding for ministry work. So that was the entire idea.
Amazing.
Now, little did I know that it wouldn't come through through music and being a pop star, but maybe other means. And but for a while, I felt called into ministry, and actually I was. So I went away from the entire pop star career idea, mm-hmm. And put that on the altar because God asked me to, and
wow.
and crucified it, just laid it down.
Yep.
And he said, well, if you're willing to do that, I'll show you something even better. And
wow.
I said, what could be better than being a pop star?
There right? is nothing better, Andreas. So, come on, we know that. There's nothing better than being Austrian, European, Christian pop star.
Well, I wanted to bring the hills back to life at the sound of music, right?
And now we should reference, you are born in Salzburg, Austria, where the sound of music was filmed.
But I cannot yodel, and I don't wear any.
Are you sure you want to try? Would we give it a shot? I mean, we can. Okay.
Absolutely not. But yeah, so I'd rather sing a country song before I do that. But
my son would love that. He's a big country guy.
But at that time, I was about 20, I really felt called into the ministry as a pastor. And suddenly, instead of seeing me in front of people singing and running and jumping around on a stage, I saw myself actually preaching. And then I found myself in that situation, being part of a church plant in Innsbruck, Austria. It was such a fantastic time, 7 years.
Which is not a bad place to be. It is beautiful.
It's true.
It's beautiful. for you.
It is, and we planted 7 other churches in surrounding cities, and it was really a revival time. It was enormous what we got to experience, and the presence of God was so thick and all around us. And we were just standing there watching, because again, it wasn't anything I had ever done before.
Sure,
I had no knowledge about it, but I had gone through Bible school and all that, but I didn't know how to plant a church.
Sure.
Right, I had to just simply learn it as I went, and I was part of a fantastic team, and we did that for 7 years, and then I felt called into media ministry and ventured on, and then really it was only about 12 years ago that I went back into the business world. I never felt that it was a hard transition. I never felt that I had to pray about it. I never felt like it was a big junction and mm-hmm. change in my life. Mm-hmm. It seemed like an organic, seamless transition between both worlds.
Beautiful.
And so it never felt awkward. It never felt like I had to change myself. I never changed my wardrobe. I never changed anything.
Yep.
It was just simply, for me, almost the same thing. And being in ministry, no matter what.
Yes.
And so that's how I see it today. And who knows what the next phase will be.
That's right.
I don't know where I'll be in 10 years.
Yeah.
I might be back behind a pulpit, or right. I'll be in a complete... Maybe I'll serve, you know, in Africa as a missionary, or whatever I'll do.
Yeah.
It'll never feel awkward if you're called to it.
I love it, Andreas. For the ones that are listening that don't necessarily feel like they know where they are. They don't know their lane. They don't feel comfortable in themselves. They don't feel like they understand their calling. What would you say to them today?
Well, first of all, honor your parents. You mentioned my parents, and I'm so glad you did. I think there is really, that is probably the key to blessing for us, if we honor our parents and our fathers especially. We have to understand that our parents who pray for us and support us are enabling us in a much greater way than just dropping finances in our lap. They are actually opening doors and paving a way spiritually that we can walk through. And we don't even understand it, but looking back, I know I wouldn't be where I am without my parents. And so that's a key number one. Start right there. Do it now. Do it today. Honor your parents. And then really look into your heart, because God must have deposited His plan into your heart. He molds the hearts of kings like a river, mm-hmm. like a stream, mm-hmm. which means gently but completely 100%. It's channeled. And I think God imprints His plan and His desires for us and His plan into our heart. So let's look what's inside. What are we passionate for?
Yeah.
Where is our passion?
Yeah.
And who do we see when we think about our next steps? Do we just see money and possessions, or do we see people? God will never call you to a Rolls Royce.
Yeah.
He'll call you to a person.
Yeah.
And so do you see their faces?
It's so amazing. Andreas, thank you for your time. Thank you for the great work that you do through Lightcast and so many other things and outlets. If people want to learn more about you, they want to learn more about the business, how can they find out more?
Go to lightcast.com to read about it, and actually contact Nathan, and he'll put you in contact with me.
Absolutely, no doubt. Brother, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Nathan, what a powerful conversation. That is loaded. I particularly loved when Andreas was asked about growing up in the church and his dad being a minister.
Yeah.
You asked him about, did he feel less spiritual not being a preacher or evangelist or missionary and going out to the marketplace.
Yeah.
And I love that Andreas, he unpacked so much in the conversation, but especially I was in the church and planted and was a part of this
then
went to the marketplace. And there was no change. I was the same. I was doing the same things. And what I could pick up out of this part of the conversation, Nathan, was that God is active everywhere.
Come on.
He's active in the church.
Yes.
He's active in the marketplace.
Yes.
And why wouldn't he be? But to hear the perspective of Andreas talking about through media and technology, and
yeah.
you think about the giftings in the kingdom of God all over the world that so many people maybe even listening today could be missing it or just off a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That God wants to use our gifts.
Yes.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah, I think oftentimes many Christians get this tunnel vision that, you know, if it's God's work, it's in a church.
Yes.
And I'm like, all work is God's work. All work, you know, all legal, healthy work is good, is God's work, right?
That's right.
Because, I mean, it's the cultural mandate in the book of Genesis, right?
Yes.
I mean, God gives the ground and the land to Adam to subdue it, to use it, to multiply, to be fruitful. Like he wants us. So all healthy, honest work is God's work.
Yes.
What people typically think of, they think of ministry being in the confines of a church. And man, I just really want to help tear that down. There is a particular vein and lane for people to be in vocational ministry. That's fantastic.
Sure.
But man, if you're a dentist and you love Jesus, let me just tell you something. You are ministering to people in a way that the pastor cannot and shouldn't even try. You know what I'm saying?
That's
you better
get
your hands out of my mouth. You know what I'm saying? Because
that's
I don't know, you can't work on my teeth.
That's
so
right.
We need Christian bankers. We need Christian real estate agents.
Yeah.
We need people, and then especially with the influence of technology, media, Andreas talks about it, the impact and influence that it has, we need it. And I think to a degree, and Andreas talked about this, the fact that he's from and lives in Europe primarily, where it's very much post-Christian, post-church, there's not a lot of confusion about all of that. If you're a believer, chances are you probably don't work in a church because there's not that many, you know? You've got to be out there in the world doing the stuff.
Yeah.
And really, we're all called to be doing that, no matter where our vocation is, whether it's in a church or out in the marketplace, it's all kingdom work. And he does it so well, and I love his heart for it.
I was so challenged when Andreas, I feel a challenge in that we're out here. We're all going out somewhere.
Yep.
And we should be surrendered to God, carrying his heart, visible, influential, surrendering our gifts to God and accepting his plans for his purpose. I love it.
I think it's a great point, Justin. And for people that are listening today, I just want to encourage you, man, your mission is wherever you're driving to today, okay?
Yeah,
you might say, oh, well, Nathan, but I've got a dream and there's something I want to do ultimately in business or in church work or in, well, that's awesome. But today, your mission is wherever you're headed right now, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
And so you're going to grandma's house, go love on her well in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
You're headed to the ballpark, man, love on those people well.
Yeah.
Show them how to swing the bat well, you know?
Yeah.
Like, do a good job in Jesus' name. Minister to ministers to serve.
Mm-hmm.
We forget this. It's just to serve.
Yes.
And so use that influence, use the gifts God's given you, use the doors he's opened for you, and represent. The word
That's
represent
right.
is represent.
Mm-hmm.
Represent Jesus to people and represent him well in every sphere of the community. Because when we do that, it keeps it from being a Sunday club, shiny idea, mental ascension. Oh, you believe in God, so therefore you get less sleep on Sunday. Then, right? If that's all it is, well, it's not going to affect anything.
Yeah.
But man, if we are
right.
being the hands and feet of Jesus in the community, in the marketplace, and look, Andreas will tell you, he doesn't feel like he's done it perfectly or flawlessly or even great, but he does do it on purpose. And I think that's what we're all called to.
Thanks so much for joining us for this episode. We'd love for you to connect with us at thebestviewintown.com. You can learn more about Andreas at lightcast.com. We have links in our show notes. And we want to give some shout outs to some listeners. Boston, Massachusetts, we see you. We love you. Shout out to you guys. And we have a listener from Cape Town, South Africa, from all across the globe. Thanks for listening. We appreciate you so much. We hope wherever you're listening, you'll subscribe. Every week, join us for a new episode. Share with your friends, share on social media, and we sure appreciate you. We hope you have a great week, and we'll see you next time.